This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
What do you got? You say so, story.
So in my youth in Prior Lake, there was a young, well-known local guy named Ginch Difford. Everybody in town called him Ginch. Ginch Difford.
Another great name.
Yeah. And I was buddies with his nephew, Moose Difford, who was called Moose for no very, he wasn't big. I don't know why he was called Moose. He must have been big as a kid or something.
Moose was a big nickname.
But he was Moose. Yeah. He was Moose. But Ginch started a golf tournament in Montgomery, at the Montgomery Golf Course. I think it was a nine-holer when he started it. And it was for him and his drinking buddies, and they'd have it he must have started it in 1971.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ginch Open.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd see somebody and say, when's the Ginch? You know, when they playing the Ginch?
Yeah.
So Moose sends me an email a couple weeks ago and says, hey, it's the 50th annual Different Open at Montgomery. You know, golf course. So it's, and they got 132 players.
Whoa.
And they now raise money for charities, and Ginch is in his 70s probably now, somewhere about my age probably. And so I said, I'll try to get out there Saturday morning, and I can probably make something out of this for Monday, right?
Yeah.
So then I say to him, where's the name Ginch come from? Where's Ginch come from? And he says, well, it's something to do with women, something to do with a woman, right?
Okay.
And and he must have been, and he was apparently considered to be successful with young ladies.
The gals. Okay.
Companion shot it.
So he became, so his buddies, his high school buddies, started calling him Ginch. So here's my deal.
Uh-oh.
You cannot write this without the Ginch angle, right? I mean, that's what makes it.
The funny name.
That's what makes it funny, because everybody in town would say, anybody seen Ginch?
Right.
You know,
right.
Where's Ginch? So I look it up.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
And Ginch is a attractive woman,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ginch. Okay. But it's not only it's not only attractive, it's promiscuous.
Oh, yeah.
And in some cases, it refers to a key body part in promiscuous stuff. So I have to call up and say, the Ginch Open column is off.
We're not doing the Ginch.
We're not doing the Ginch.
Did the guy have a given name?
Yes, but it made no difference. To me, it was not, unless you could use the fact that he was saluted throughout town, and still is.
Now you really know why.
And now, for some reason, for 50 years, I never asked, why do they call him the Ginch?
Yeah.
Fortunately for me, I asked this time.
Yeah.
Because there's a very good chance I wouldn't have looked to see what it means.
Well, plus you were hoping for a great story for why he was called Ginch.
Yeah, I was hoping that he was a mechanic or something.
Yeah, give me the Ginch. Okay, I got the Ginch sitting right over there.
You know, even 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
a guy might have been able to get away with.
Well, I'm unaware of the use of that word.
Ginch. Yeah.
Well,
no,
Joe, I just looked it up, and the first thing that popped up was Urban Dictionary.
I just was looking at it too, and it's
Well, and even the non-urban, even the old English dictionary says something about comely women and stuff like this.
Yes.
And, the women that cause you to go.
So
walking down the
is
street.
Is the actual golf tournament called that?
No, it's the Difford Open.
Oh, okay.
So and his nephew, Chris Difford. Who played basketball, or maybe it's his grandkid, I don't know, played basketball at Hamlin and has taken it over and
sure.
turned it into a much more dignified operation.
Yeah, when he changed the name in 97.
Than 32 guys from Prior Lake getting loaded.
You know, the only thing that would have made it better is before you had asked what the name means, if he had said, do you want to come see the trophy?
Yeah, right.
Here's the trophy.
Yes. Anyway, there it went. The Ginch Open. Ginch Open will never be honored in the even on Star Tribune Online. Only here on the podcast can we talk about the Ginch Open.
Oh,
yes, hey, America got the gold in golf. I know you're keen on Olympic golf.
Oh, God, I'm excited.
Xander Shoffley.
Yeah. I'm really excited. C.B. Pan won the bronze in a seven-man playoff, huh?
Seven guys had a chance.
Why are we doing it? Who cares?
Well, it was in the Olympics in 1910.
They already play internationally. You already know who the greatest golfers are on Earth.
With 156 entries.
Yes.
In the British Open in the
U.S.
Open. Yeah, that's all a bunch of crap.
We do that with the Ryder Cup.
Yeah. I watched for 5 minutes and I said, why am I watching this? I'd rather watch the Corn Ferry shootout than this thing. You know, what do I care?
Well, the only time I found golf on TV was at about 11 o'clock this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody knows if it's...
That's the worst thing about the Olympics is you never know if you're watching live or on tape.
Right. This is the only time I can
turn it on and say, Suni Lee. Oh, wait, that was 2 days ago.
They're 14 hours ahead.
Yeah.
So it's sometime tomorrow, isn't it? I don't know.
And that's the part that really bums me out that we're no longer doing afternoon radio.
No longer doing primetime
preview? We can't
have
primetime preview.
Because I would have then figured out, first thing we had to look at was to get what they planned to put on TV as the featured events, right? But I think they're doing everything live now and then just replaying it, right?
Is that what they're doing?
Because a lot of stuff they held back. They didn't even televise until they threw it in that package from 7 to 10 at night, 7 to 11. Oh. Primetime preview was great. The great thing about primetime preview was you'd kind of be talking along and then you'd slip it in. They didn't have time to change.
He'd be talking about a Twins trade and, oh, Michael Phelps won another gold medal.
Did this Caleb guy eclipse Phelps?
For numbers?
Caleb.
I don't think he won eight. Didn't Phelps win eight 1 year?
Well, maybe this guy's only had five.
Yeah, he's only
Dressel,
had five
Caleb so Dressel, right?
Caleb Dressel.
But he's beating his records, right? But the swimming pool. Pretty soon, somebody's going to swim 50 meters in zero.
Right.
Because every year they take.
This is the dude that did it without taking a breath for 50 meters.
Is that right?
Yes.
He did not take a breath.
Because they watched him underwater. He did not breathe.
So he went. Yeah, so he
dived in and just didn't
breathe. Wow.
When they were kids, my dad and his brother would swim from their dock in Matamidi to the point of the peninsula.
Well, that's a long haul, man.
And they'd have a rowboat alongside them. And I got thinking, I saw the 800 meter the other night of the female swimmers. I bet they could do that in 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe under 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how far that is, but it's pretty... It'd be a hell of a swim.
Oh, well, the other thing about swimmers in my youth, they were 5'11". You know, they were guys that were, 5'10", 5'11". Now these guys are all 6'7", have bellies on them like a side of a granite wall.
I really want a swimmer's body, but I just not going to get
Never
there.
Never going to happen.
Never going to be. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
What's the line? I'm not a strong swimmer. I'm not a strong swimmer. What was that bit?
Synchronized swimming.
Martin Short. And Christopher Guest was the coach, who was Harry Shearer.
Harry Shearer was the other swimmer.
Martin Short was the one that had to wear the
life jacket.
Yeah, he wore a life jacket.
Harry was a much better swimmer.
He had the nose plug.
I tell you, I was watching that the night it came on. I almost... urinated. It was so funny.
I don't know how you think of that and then execute it. And it's just so damn... I could watch it 15 times over and laugh as hard.
That type of humor, Martin Short, is
is
the best. He's the best as that kind of just completely.
Well, he did, what was
visual
the bit?
Comic humor?
He had the fake talk show, Jimmy Glick. Jimmy Glick, thank you.
Jimmy Glick.
Oh.
What are you?
And he's to Mel Brooks.
He says, "What's your grudge with the Nazis?" And Mel Brooks, he doesn't tell anybody. And Mel Brooks is 88 when he's doing it. He's so sharp. He says, "What'd he say? I thought they were rude." I mean, he thinks, "What do I have against the Nazis?" Says, and then he thought for 2 seconds and said, "I thought they were rude."
Well, didn't Mel Brooks know what he was getting into?
He yes, had to know well, it was yes, a bit. But you don't know what the questions are.
Yeah, right.
You don't know what he's going to
do. Because he wants your instant
reaction. He's going to say something to embarrass you. Oh. And, you know.
If you want to go down a rabbit hole sometime, you can go to YouTube and find... Well, you can find the Johnny Carson interviews with Rickles and Jonathan Winters. And they're beyond hilarious.
Hilarious. And the 2,000-year-old man was Reiner. That was not completely unscripted. Right. Reiner would come out. Reiner would come out and ask Mel questions about how the world has changed in 2,000 years. But Mel didn't know what was coming. It was all off the top of
late
his head.
Late night TV with these guys. I don't even consider it anymore.
It's not exciting.
I haven't watched it since Carson died.
But Reiner and Brooks, until Reiner died, until about 2 years before Reiner died, had dinner every night. Yeah. At one house or the other.
Oh, wow.
Reiner would bring over some from some deli.
Is Mel still alive?
Yeah, Mel's still alive.
Got to be 100.
Yeah, he does. I think he damn near 100, yeah. I told you I watched Blazing Saddles in its entirety last week. And if you're 22 years old and have gone through our education system.
The failed academy, we call that.
And you watch this movie, you cannot believe what you're watching. No. Right.
Mel is 95 years old, still living in New York City.
I thought he lived on Riviera Country Club.
No, he lived in L.A. He lived in L.A.
What's that's just what it says on his Wikipedia
page.
He used
to always go to Reiner's out in L.A., so maybe he moved to New York in a while back to be around some people, but... you know what? The producers was hilarious. Just the musical Springtime for Hitler was a pretty good joke. And then just the movie. That was great. And, you know, ran on Broadway.
Springtime for Hitler.
Ran on Broadway forever, the producers. And Blazing Saddles was great. And Young Frankenstein might have been his best, but then some of those ones he came afterwards were Spaceballs.
Do you think a college kid could get away with screening Blazing Saddles? Like on a Saturday night at 10 o'clock, we're going to have a showing of Blazing Saddles in the auditorium.
Oh, God. Like Rocky Horror Picture Show?
No,
I bet they could.
Now?
It's already done.
No chance.
I don't know. It's 1974.
Yeah, I don't believe that we can do that. No, I think it's...
I'd like to encourage some kids to do it just for the hell of it, see what would happen.
Hey, you know, every award, I'm surprised that they haven't tried to make Mel give back his various Academy Awards. Yeah. Just because, you know...
Twins aren't much to talk about, are they, Pat?
No. Jose goes to Toronto and...
That was a nice outing.
Six scoreless. Mm-hmm. Loaded him up in the six, but then struck a guy out to get out of it. And the one guy they got, Martin, the second pick from a couple of years ago, it's hard to judge these minor leaguers because they didn't play last year, the young ones. He was really terrible at the start in Double A, but he's been pretty good lately. He hasn't hit with any power this year, but he's supposedly a good hitter, and the pitchers, you know, throws hard. So
here's what I don't understand about the Twins fans that are upset. They're awful. The only person that they traded that is Berríos that wasn't controllable past this year. What are you mad at?
Well, my theory is that he was improperly appreciated by the Twins fans because he made every start and that. But this was also the time to trade him.
Absolutely,
because this winter, teams aren't as desperate. And then you only have 1 year. You know, this way you can try to win a you know, get to the playoffs with him, and then you have one more year if you want it. So this was the time to trade him. There's no doubt about that.
You know what the Buxton delay getting back tells me? Again, they're not playing today. They're playing, he's worried about next year. You could have had a hand transplant by now and been back in the line.
Well, the one that bothered me was he strained a hip and missed 37 games.
Well, how many has he missed now?
Well, somebody tweeted to me that I don't mind them trading Berríos, but I would get really upset if they traded Buxton. And I tweeted back and said, yes, I can see why, because Buxton has started 26 games this year and Berríos only started 20. Buxton, he started 26 games. Well, I mean, 26 games. He played the entirety of April and has played three games since.
How does Baldelli survive all this? Or really?
I don't know. You see who got him upset, though, finally? Dean Spiros, who used to work for us in Minneapolis and is now a freelancer for the St. Paul, breaks him out. They pay him a freelance fee. Goes over to the Saints game.
Right. And Matt, they got Matt, the shoe to
Matt
start talking.
Matt Shoemaker pitches seven scoreless innings and says, basically, they screwed me up over there with the Twins. It was the best twin story in weeks because he'd got Rocco. Very agitated.
Not what you want to say if you're trying to get your job back.
No, but it's great. Because the shoe, when he'd get his ass pounded here, would say how unlucky he was.
His hand was sweaty.
Yeah,
he had the sweaty hand.
He had this and that. But it was great because, and here's another thing, Joe. When they talk about their baseball now, when Rocco talks about their pitching coaches, staff, our group. Yeah. I'm very confident in our group. We have a very high, we use group all the time like we're a business office or something. I'm very confident in our group, meaning the pitching coaches.
You know what that is? That's collaboration. Isn't that collaboration?
I think it's collaboration. I'll say one thing. We did cure Derek Falvey of collaboration because we made so much fun of him during the, you know, like a few times I was talking to him and I'd say collaboration and I go, ding, ding, you know. So anyway, we were talking about vaccines.
Yeah.
And that got us naturally on the subject of leprosy.
Well, no, you think you have something on your arm.
On my arms, yeah, I think I have leprosy.
Well,
look at that right there. Where'd that come
from? I get those once in a while. What are they?
Sunspots.
I didn't even hit anything.
No, I get that once in a while.
I didn't even hit anything.
I hit one here, and then they fade away.
Ah, these ain't fading. That one looks like it's there for life. That one looks like an eye.
That just might be leprosy.
That could be
leprosy.
You know,
that
one time we Rook and I had a very inelegant talk about
leprosy. So it got us. That switched us to leprosy as a topic.
You want
to
hear
my sunspots? Yes.
You want to hear it?
Leprosy. This is now a heartfelt discussion on leprosy.
Well, you'll have to hear this.
Yes. Yep.
A guy named Baba Amte, a follower of Gandhi, whose dedication to helping lepers of India brought him the Templeton Prize and many other international awards, died Feb 9 at his shelter for leprosy patients in the western India state of Maharashtra.
You're very good on those pronunciations.
Right on.
And the cause of death was age-related ailments, which I would imagine stands to reason, huh?
Take 93.
Amte, who was trained as a lawyer, turned from an early life of hunting, playing sports, driving fancy cars, and writing film reviews.
Chasing Ginch, too.
And working with the poor of his country. But his direction was irrevocably determined by an encounter with a destitute leper. After that, he gave up his father's...
I would imagine most were at that point.
Yeah, you know, maybe his life wouldn't have changed this way if he had never really wealthy leper.
Or one while he's writing the movie review.
Right.
What do you think, you know, Ambu?
You know, there's, it seems to go hand in hand, unfortunately, that, you know, if you have leprosy, you tend to be a little short of cash.
Tell me a little cartoon bubble of the shelter built for you.
No. No, now this is a good guy. This guy did
it. I know, but I'm just seeing a waiting room of a lot of gauze.
See, now, it might be peculiar to my upbringing, but lepers were always in our consciousness.
Yes.
Yeah, remember that?
The cash, all our leftover coins.
Right here, you know, they right only here. Came up usually during church at the Bible.
Yeah. Sure.
Leprosy. The good.
But
Lord
it was among the many... Many items of voodoo that was tossed at our feet.
Yes,
was
pagan
the leprosy
children.
Deal. And I always, you know, I saw the gauze and the bad cane.
It was never fresh either. The gauze seemed always. I saw dragging feet. I did. Well, you, as a kid, you get a cartoon bottle.
Well, and
I'm
you
not
know,
making fun, but this is what was burned on my, you know, just the kind of the shuffling.
And what I always wondered is, well, you know, it sounds bad. I got that.
It sounds bad.
It doesn't
hint that it's bad.
I'm guy buy it.
I want to cure it.
Here's my quarter. I'm in.
Quarter.
But I always wondered. Well, why, and I'm serious now.
Yes.
I always wondered, well, why did the conditions of, maybe that's, seriously now, in all seriousness, yeah. Maybe that's what got to this guy. Because I always wondered, why did the conditions of treating the lepers have to be so bad? In other words,
yeah.
Leprosy was always associated with a completely run down hive.
Yeah. Colony.
Yes.
I always saw Hawaii.
Yes, I don't think you're speaking out of school. The majority of us raised in America.
God forgive me. I'm not.
What you're laughing at is that your own cartoon bubble as a child that has stuck with you as a.
That's it.
It has not changed.
No,
from
got planted. You stick your head out. Ask Height because he was raised the same way. You know you. It was among the many, you know, hey, look out. You know, there's leprosy.
Be good.
Yeah.
If you touch yourself wrong, you might be a leper.
Well, you know what? Hats off to this fellow. He apparently turned away from his father's huge estate and dedicated himself to the service of lepers. To the end of his life, he worked, marched, and protested for better treatment for them and the rest of India's least powerful, in addition to the Templeton Prize, which he won in 19...
I always saw an extra bucket of fingertips. A bucket of fingertips. Jan, they're cleaning out the end of the clinic.
Okay.
Oh, you're lepers. You can pick up a finger.
What did he win outside of Templeton Prize?
Oh, God.
I'm going to go straight to hell.
No, I'm not.
Oh, God, you are.
That was
no, I'm not worried about you. I said I don't care.
I always thought in the Bible, too, the lepers. They always got there early.
Well, you seem to have a Bible connection.
That's the only thing.
I'm seeing Hawaii.
Malachi.
Seriously, I'm seeing Hawaii, thatched hut, run down, bad.
You're seeing where they put them all. They put
yes,
them all.
I, honest to God, what did they do? Why?
I saw a lot of downtime on Leper Island.
It was, you know, it was like you took the bad ferry.
The bad ferry. It wasn't a lot of money put
who's
in it.
Who's the, I'm seeing Marty Feldman.
The
crummy ferry that had like tires attached to it. Oh,
well, hey, you know what?
God bless this Indian fellow.
Yes, yes.
You know what? He had
a
this
leper advocate.
Leper advocate.
The leper hotline.
Is there more?
Are we done?
I think that, yeah, that's it.
Here was my thought. While you were talking to him, that was going on. My thought was, you're sending the 12-year-old kid to Molokai, right?
Yeah. Because
he came down with it. And you said, now you're going to come and visit, aren't you, Mom?
We're going to be over once a month.
Yeah, the ferry comes on Sundays. I got to be back by 5.
You're going to be... Oh, God.
See, you don't want it now. You don't want it.
Right now we understand a little more about it.
You know, and I don't want to say I don't trust the church of my youth.
Yeah.
But they were still asking for money for lepers after it was pretty much wiped out around the globe.
Right.
And the pagan children.
Yeah.
Why did I give a damn if there was some kid in China who didn't believe in God?
Was a little...
Yeah, didn't believe in Jesus. I didn't. Why should I have to pay money for
him?
Why
do you have to square up? Yeah, right.
You didn't regard it as your problem.
No, pagan children were not my problem. Yeah. As much as I heard about them, I do love the word pagan. Oh, pagan, like that's, you know, he's a pagan.
Oh,
yeah. I heard that at home quite a bit. Mm-hmm. My mother was a believer in pagan children.
Oh, I still get my dead mother's mail where she was sending money to the pagan children.
She's gone.
How many calls are you guys getting from the police, these people that are raising money for some police federation? Because I don't trust them.
She gets a lot of that, too.
I don't believe that the money's
She's
going
She's been dead
to,
5 years, and there's yeah. tons of stuff. Keep
I don't
really?
I don't believe that the money's going to the police.
You got
to
be really careful with those guys,
I don't go along with any of it anymore.
There is a legit police federation. Mm-hmm. I just don't know what their take is.
Mm-hmm.
I know a couple of guys that are higher-ups.
Plus, they get paid. They got pensions. What the hell?
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's...
We need them. We need them.
I'm in favor of them. Boy, we had something going on 100 on Saturday afternoon. Sounded like we had them zipping down one way and zipping down the other. It went on for a half hour. I don't know. I thought it was fire for a while, but
it wasn't the.
I don't know what it was.
Wasn't that where the Star Tribune had the story of the guys racing the exotic cars? Wasn't that on 100?
No, that was on 394.
Oh, that was 394.
That was a couple of years ago.
Okay.
Well, there's crazy driving going on.
Oh yeah,
I've said I drove to Hudson, Wisconsin Saturday. That stretch between Woodbury and the river, people are driving like gas costs 12 cents a gallon.
Yeah,
they're just screaming.
Yeah. And if I've said this, if you're in traffic right driving normal, and some guy cuts in front of you, drop back because there's somebody chasing him. He's having a race.
You're right.
He's having a race with somebody.
I would agree with that. Sometimes it's three people.
Yeah, it is. I'm not a follow close guy, but I'm really a follow way behind now guy because the way they're cutting. And of course, then they just cut and they honk at you because you're 100 yards behind somebody, even though you're going 70.
Right.
Right.
You know, people want to close that.
Why are people so angry?
I don't know.
What are we mad at?
We're mad at everyone.
Who are we mad at today?
Yeah.
That was always an unfair of you to characterize the show that way. Like going into Rook and say, who's he mad at today?
I'll tell you what I'm mad at. Water. What? I want a nice, drenching rain.
Well, you're the drought king of the world.
I know, but I don't play golf anymore.
Oh.
Plus, I have invested liberally in plants and stuff the last couple of years, and basically... We lost most of last year's, and we're going to lose these,
too. Well, you got to get out and water.
I water.
I'm the waterer.
I watered more this year.
I water the front.
I don't want to do it every day. You shouldn't have to do it every day.
I don't like doing it every day.
I think you got to, every other day, maybe. But this idea that you look out there and it looks just as bad 20 minutes after you water.
Okay, I got a question along those
Here
lines.
Here it is. Let's go. I worked on the Home and Garden Show for 15 years. Okay, what do you want to know?
The hostas come in every year.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Could they die out and not come back next year?
No. They're coming back. Hostas.
I was going to water the hostas.
Ferns and hostas are going to come back no matter what.
You know what's a hell of a flower?
What?
That tulip.
Oh,
Those
You're really on a big limb there, aren't
those,
you?
No, but those damn things won't. Yeah, they won't die. We haven't planted them in the front for years, and there's still sporadically one shows up.
And you're going to middle of the lawn, it'll show up.
There's one that shows up. You could beat somebody with it. It's like 8 feet tall. I don't know what the hell it is.
Tulip, and those are nice because those are always early in the spring.
We have no tulips.
You don't have any tulips?
We have no tulips.
Well, you never had them then, because if you had them, unless you go and dig them out, they'll go, here they come. You know, so
that's always fun because they're early on in the spring.
I don't know. I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind an artificial turf lawn.
Really? I think that would look terrible.
Yeah, I think it would look terrible too. But mine right now is so brown, it's unbelievable. I don't know what to do about it. I don't think we're supposed to be sprinkling.
And we're cutting grass that ain't growing. The lawn services keep showing up.
Mm-hmm. My guys, though, if it doesn't deserve it, will not cut it.
I'll kind of give it the look over and then say, see you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, I got a sprinkler system, so my grass is green. There's not one weed.
How often do you have to, can you run it?
I run each zone. I got six zones. I run them each for anywhere from 10 to 12 minutes.
You just don't care about the earth, do you?
No, I don't care about the earth. I'm using my neighbor's water. That's what I'm using.
Golden Valley said that we could only run the sprinklers 2 days a week or some damn thing.
We just, in South St. Paul, it's got to be before 10 o'clock or after 5.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty much just going to give up.
Yeah, I've given up.
I came home yesterday and she had mowed the lawn.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they come. Grass is an invasive species.
You know what's fun, though?
Like, mussels.
I'm a big pro-vax guy, but you know what's fun? Zim.
Oh.
Zim. Zim went nuts again this morning.
Yes, he did.
Is he an anti-vax guy?
No.
Oh, he wants Cousins to get his.
He wants the quarterbacks. He lost three of his four quarterbacks because the guy who got the COVID had been vaccinated.
Right.
But because Cousins and the guy from Iowa, whose career is over, by the way, Nate Stanley. Hadn't been vaccinated, they have to quarantine for 5 days. So if you haven't been vaccinated, so Cousins can't practice for 5 days, which has got him going crazy because the training camp seems shorter this year for some reason.
Well, there's only three games, too, in the preseason.
Yeah, there's only three games, and it seems
like... What's Cousins' excuse? Is he the evangelical thing?
Yeah, I think so. His father is like a preacher at a very hardcore fundamental church.
But I thought if you had religious reasons, you were allowed to be exempt per the NFL report. Or is he not citing that?
Well, maybe you are exempt for... I don't know if he must not be citing that, but that's his background.
Well, he hasn't even came out and said that he's anti-vax, unlike a couple of other players.
No, I was there his opening day press conference, which was actually pretty good.
And you got that cleaned out there, Joe?
He did not answer whether he'd been vaccinated
right,
or
he
not.
Right, he said he wasn't going to reveal his medical history.
Yeah, but this time he didn't say that. He just went on answering the other part of the question.
Ah.
But he's obviously
Well, you know
vaccinated.
Why Zim's got the red ass. Because he knows his job's on the line this year.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And if Cousins doesn't play half the season, he's screwed.
How about the guy in Washington, Rivera, who had cancer, prostate cancer, right? And pretty bad.
I think so, yeah.
Or was it, you know.
I'll look that up.
He had a long battle with whatever it was. Less than 70% of their players have been vaccinated, the Redskins or whatever.
Can I get back to Buxton? Does this freeloader even travel with the team?
No. No, he's not.
It's
not
a finger.
Suni Lee broke her ankle, and she's still jumping around like a little bumblebee.
Well, yeah, he could wrap them two together, but they're not going to do it.
Ron Rivera had squamous cell carcinoma. He had cell cancer.
That doesn't sound good.
No, and it was pretty significant.
He went through a beating.
Are you going to have those spots checked?
No.
No, I don't even check.
We'll get you a one-way ticket to Leper Island.
If I notice that the fingers are like deteriorating to the point they might fall off,
and
then
you
I
have to throw them in the bucket of fingers.
Yeah.
Basket
finger
of fingers.
Bucket.
Yeah. What good going to do? They can, you go over there and they're going to think of something. They're going to come up with something. You know?
Yeah, you might want to have that looked out.
Yeah, no, that's cancer. I might have some other possibilities. I don't know what those are.
Some bumps.
Now, if it's sunspots, there's a good reason for that because I've been driving with the top down in a drought for 3 months.
Right.
You know, so.
So what do you got this week for sports? Let's wrap this up. Because I don't think there's any sports left to talk about except the Olympics.
Well, we got the Fighting 20. This is, I would say that whenever I covered the Olympics, this was my favorite day because you would say, this is the last Monday. Oh. You know? Yeah. And then the next one you'd say, this is the last Tuesday. Although, you know, the track and field, which used to be why we had the Olympics, mm-hmm. is just basically getting started.
And I hope we see this on TV.
They wait till the last week.
They're racing in a monsoon rainstorm, and runners are falling down.
Oh, today?
Yeah.
Really?
I just see another thing.
Well, did the typhoon hit?
Yeah.
The typhoon hit.
What about the diver who decided to just jump in? You see that?
I did not see that. What?
No, I missed that.
A diver. I'll get your name. Maybe we've heard of her. Maybe she's famous. Maybe she's a big deal. And I go right here.
Mm-hmm.
If you are, by the way, not as compelled by the Olympics as I am, the wife is glued like she always
does
is.
She? Women are. It's amazing.
But there is a great Twitter account called Pets Watching the Olympics. So you'll have somebody's cat, and he'll try to catch, you know, the guy in the rings or whatever. It's hilarious. Mm-hmm. It's just called Pets Watching the Olympics, and it's hysterical.
Canadian diver Pamela Ware recorded a rare score of 0.0 to miss out on a place. She's 28. You can see the video of it here. She just decides, the hell with it. I'm just going to jump in. I just jumped in.
Just did a cannonball?
I forgot what I was doing. Is that right?
Yeah. Didn't even do a cannonball.
Yeah.
She just
feet first.
Jumped in feet first.
She must have already known she wasn't going to advance.
Or was she Dustin Johnson at the 3M Open last week? We said, out of hell with it. I want to get out of here.
She must have.
See if there's an explanation here. She does the bounce on the board.
Yeah.
And it looks like she's ready to do a routine.
Did she maybe lose it?
And then just fell in the water.
Whoops.
She's going to be like Simone.
She had fears of injuring herself in the last dive.
Sure.
Okay. And then, that's become a mental health problem. Right. So, she envisioned that. Simone is going to do the balance beam, I heard.
Mm-hmm. Is that the official
word? She's going to try, yeah. So she wants to steal covering the Olympics just got to have to drive you crazy, though. Today's play story in the Star Tribune sports section was Suni getting a bronze, which she got 30 hours earlier. Yeah, that drives me crazy. Terrible. But beyond that, I've watched 10 minutes, maybe. I just don't watch it. Because when I turn it on, I say, okay, is this? They say live, but they lie.
No, you don't know.
Because if it's on tape, it says live.
Right. Ware took a misstep on her approach for a 3.5 difficulty dive and was forced to abandon her planned attempt the second she jumped. Okay. As a result, the 2013 World Aquatics Championships bronze medalist performed a pencil jump straight into the pool and scored a 0.0.
Well, wouldn't that even just be 0.1? I mean, just because
trying to avoid hurting yourself, I can see that.
She said, I think that if I would have done the dive, I could have possibly hurt myself. She, of course, is proud of herself and what she's done, and I was so ready for this competition, and I made a mistake.
I wonder, Canada takes these Olympics horribly seriously. Boy, they must be happy that they beat our soccer team.
You got a Mexican diver, Arantxa Chavez, also got a 0.0 after she made a similar error during the preliminary round.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, Canada is happier about the U.S. women's soccer team losing, almost as happy as Trump fans are.
Yeah.
they probably very sad that Megan Rapinoe is going to have to get a bronze at best.
Well, here it says, fans fume as women's hurdles goes ahead in torrential rain and athlete falls.
Wow.
Ooh.
That would be a Danish athlete.
Then stop it?
No, they ran the damn thing.
Before you wrap,
Sarah Slott Peterson tumbled over a hurdle near the end of her race. She was in contention to qualify when she hit the hurdle on her approach at the home straight.
Failing to launch properly off the wet surface, she fell and slid along the track as her rival sprinted clear.
Hurdles in a downpour might be a little treacherous.
Right. I would think that might hurt.
What were you going to say there?
Well, before you guys decided to wrap up and head to the bank, we do have a new sponsor based on the giant success that Monday Night Sports Talk has become. So for the next couple of weeks, we do have a new sponsor. So I'd like to read this copy.
Let's hear it.
Yeah.
The Minnesota Twins return home next Monday, August 9th, to take on the Chicago White Sox. Plan your trip to Target Field to see your favorite team in action and enjoy the excitement live from the stands. And you can get your tickets online right now at twinsbaseball.com/tickets.
Are they offering any discounts?
There probably are some going
on. Are they willing to barter?
It's not a garage sale.
No, look, at you want $45 for this ticket. I'm here right now. I'll give you 30.
You know what? You know what else? It is exciting because, for instance, when Louis Arise is playing third, they hit him the ball. You never know what the hell.
You don't know what's going to happen.
No, right. There's adventure.
In fact, you had a tweet earlier today based on the Twins' excitement that they have a chance to make history. What was the record you were talking?
14, and they would have to go 14-42.
Okay,
which is only 250 ball. I don't think they can do it, but. They don't. You know what was amazing was yesterday's broadcast. Dick and Roy started ripping the hell out of the fielding.
Really?
Yes, it was very.
That's a leap for Bally Sports North.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I also love the fact that Dick, at every opportunity he can, mentions that he's at Target Field.
Yeah. I don't blame him.
Yeah, no, I don't either. I'm glad he says that. Here at Target Field. Yeah.
It's a crisp back, 80 degrees.
People are saying, wait a minute here. It's a road game, isn't it? But Dick makes sure you know that they're not on the road.
I watched a little bit of Saturday, and all I could think about was the time you and I were down in St. Louis, Pat, when it was about 130 degrees on that field.
Oh, God almighty, that Saturday.
It was hot.
That's as close as I've ever come to being shirtless at a major league game. Exhibitions, maybe, but not man alive. That was
it. Was a cooker. That was a cooker.
Well, weren't you in an air conditioned press box?
No, we went as fans.
I went with my son and Albert.
Yeah,
that was the damnedest thing I've ever seen. Everybody wore a jersey, and 95% of them were Pujols.
Yep.
And the other 5 were Musial. By the way, congratulations to Yadier Molina, who is a catcher. Moved into 4th all time on the Cardinal hitting list behind Stan Musial, Lou Brock, and Rogers Hornsby.
Wow.
Stan Musial, who had the same career batting average at home and on the road.
That's right.
And Yachty only needs 1,600 more hits to catch Stan.
And by the way, the game we were at, that was 09, if I'm not mistaken. And Yachty was the starting catcher 12 years ago on that team. Wow, what a career.
Look them in the eye, shake their hands, and...
that third thing, Stan?
That's Stan. Wicker and I, in Musials the night before the World Series with a drunk Stan Musial and Al Hurt playing the whatever the hell he played. That was a lot of fun. Stan was going to make this heartfelt speech, but he couldn't remember what the third thing was. He was always shake their hands, I think. Or no, look them in the eye.
Look them in
remember
the eye,
their
shake
name.
Their hand, and remember their
remember
name.
Remember their name, but he couldn't
remember.
He
couldn't remember the remember their name part.
Remember their name part. Yeah.
Sorry.
Right. Before we go to the bank, I'm actually going to the bank myself.
I am too.
Yeah. Before we go, on a somber note, this is not a sponsorship. This is a sad. McLaren ran into Carl Wetzel at Tom Reed's the other night. And his wife, Claudia, had passed away in October of last year.
I didn't know that.
I don't think it was COVID-related. I think it was leukemia. And Carl, who just sent me, I'm just going to read this quick text that he just sent me very recently. Thanks for reaching out, Rook. Because I said I didn't know that. Said, you have no idea how much Claudia loved you guys. I never saw her enjoy anything as much as she did Garage Logic. A big thank you to you and Joe for being there. All the best to the Mikulski's Wets.
And today, Bob Motzko's son, memorial service for him was held today.
You know
too.
What it sounds what like
a
to
deal,
me?
Man.
You know what it sounds like to me?
What?
This high rolling real estate agent with a Bentley said, "You guys want a ride?"
Yeah. The Star Tribune, and I mean, you probably had it too. That The kids saw this. They were out there. They didn't know this guy. Yeah. They met him at Maynard's, and he invited him to a party.
Oh, God.
And the Matsuko kid and his buddy, who's Schuneman kid, who was, I think Schuneman, who's the boyfriend of Matsuko's daughter, mm-hmm. Ella. And they saw the Bentley in the garage, and they said something. And he said, I'll give you a ride. But they said the crash was like 100 yards from the driveway. So he must have, like, went down and then been coming back or something, because they said he was going 100 miles an hour.
Maybe he was taking him back to Maynard's, because they must have had a car there.
No. It was a joyride.
But how did Mosco and his buddy get to Maynard's?
Well, they probably Ubered or something.
No, they probably had a car at the... They came later to this house. They came later to this house for the, but I think they had their own cars there. He was just giving them a joy.
Oh, I get you.
He was just giving them a joyride in the Bentley, and out there on those Minnetonka roads. Holy Christ!
I would have saved those kids by telling them that Bentley isn't that big of a deal.
No, not a 2017.
Not that big of a deal.
Well, it's a terrible.
You want to ride in a Bentley from about 1956, and they would you'd have a hard time getting it up.
Terrible, man. Terrible. What's going on? Tom Kelly lost his son out of just like that this year. Now Bob Matsko's son, Todd Hoffner's daughter down at Mankato, he lost her. Man, it's losing those kids, man. The worst. The worst.
You don't want to outlive a kid.
Nope.
All right, well, on that's somber.
That's a happy terrible. Note.
I think we're going to church, not
luck,
the bank.
Bosco. Good
on
luck,
that
Bob.
Terrible now.
And your wife and family.
He's a really good guy. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Yeah. This is Ricey for the Canopy Group. As you set out to explore Minnesota this summer, think about this. There are 234 cities in Minnesota with populations over 2,500. The Canopy Group has clients in all but 7 of those. Why is this fact important? Because the Canopy Group's experience in all of these Minnesota cities gives them a unique edge in getting you the best home and auto insurance coverage at the best price. Remember, the Canopy Group offers 15 insurance companies for a reason: to match your specific situation, including zip code, with the best insurance company for you. This is done every year because your situation may change. It is also true that the insurance company's appetites might change as well. This experience working throughout Minnesota provides thousands of Canopy Group clients the peace of mind knowing the Canopy Group is working for them. Please visit thecanopygroup.com.
Hey, GLers, it's Reavers here once again for Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold. And as you've been hearing over the course of the last couple of months, Josh asks you one simple question, and that's always, do you know what you own? You see, Josh's clients, they always know what they own. And Josh has found that most people that he meets with every single day, well, they don't. They absolutely have no idea. Josh has also seen retirement portfolios that have a big percentage in bonds. And there are real instances of people paying more in commissions and fees than they can possibly make on the rate of return that those bonds currently yield. So Josh begs of you, know what you own. And you'll hear from Mr. Money Talk later today here in Garage Logic to give you a specialized report on the goings-on in the market today. Trust is often overused, and it's even harder to find. Please, you can take it from me that you can trust Josh. So give him a call today for that free 48-minute financial consultation, and you do so by calling 952-925-5608. Once again, that's 952-925-5608 for Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold.
EcoFun has e-bikes in stock. And why is that important? Because every other bike retailer is out of stock and will not be getting new e-bikes until December or January. You can't even get one for Christmas from them. The weather is warming up, so if you are in the market for an e-bike, scooter, or ATV, go to EcoFun right now. EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Talk with Tim Bloom, the owner of EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Tim and his family will help you select the e-bike that is right for you, and they will deliver it to your front door in the metro area. Right now, EcoFun has Bentelli e-bikes and Yamaha Motor Assist bikes in stock. EcoFun also carries the full line of Yamaha scooters, motorcycles, and a wide variety of Yamaha ATVs, including ATVs for kids. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake and online at EcoFunMotorsports.com and tell Tim that that old bicycler Patrick Racy sent you.
Apollo Heating and Air.
If you need to replace, Apollo is the place. Schedule your appointment with Apollo today, and you can have a new air conditioner for as low as $45 a month. Think you need a new home comfort system? No problem. You could have one from Apollo for as low as $84 a month. Let the professionals at Apollo keep your home cool and comfortable all season long. Visit callapollo.com to schedule your appointment today.
To be your best every day, you need proven quality sleep every night. Science proves your best sleep is vital to your mental, emotional, and physical health. And that's where the Sleep Number bed comes in. And let me tell you, ever since I've had it, my Sleep IQ score is just going higher and higher. And did you know 8 out of 10 couples say that one of them sleeps too hot or too cold? Science tells us regulating your sleep temperature leads to higher quality sleep. For many couples, temperature struggles are a real challenge. So here are some tips to help you both sleep just right. Look for beds designed with temperature benefits, such as the new Sleep Number Climate 360 Smart Bed that actively warms and cools each side so you both sleep blissfully comfortable. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number 360 Special Edition Smart Bed. Plus, special financing for a limited time. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com/podcast1. Sleep Number, the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. Subject to credit approval, minimum monthly payments required. See sleepnumber.com for details.